I'm Kevin Hatchard, and this is the Ultimate Sports Podcast. Coming up, we'll preview the Six Nations title decider between England and Wales in Cardiff. We'll look back on some intriguing quarterfinal draws in both the Champions League and the Europa League, and we'll take a look ahead to some of the weekend's top matches in the Premier League. Well, we'll start with rugby and Saturday's gigantic showdown in Cardiff. Wales will snatch the title from England if they win by at least 8 points. But if England come out on top, they'll secure their first Grand Slam since 2003. England head coach Stuart Lancaster made 4 changes to his lineup, bringing in Ben Youngs, Owen Farrell, Tom Croft and Joe Marler. And he spoke to the media ahead of the match.
A couple of changes from our point of view. Joe Marler coming in on the loose head. Nothing that Mako did wrong, to be honest. More a reflection of how we see the interchange going between our two loose heads. And, I think Joe's the right person to start. And Mako coming on second half will obviously make an impact, hopefully. Croft for Haskell. Obviously great to get Tom back in the starting team. And, you know, from a lineup point of view, obviously there's lots of options. And James has done a great job off the bench. And then halfback, Ben and Owen coming back in the equation. Delighted that Owen's fit. Missed last week, but he's trained really well this week, so no concerns over him. And I guess the really pleasing thing was both second rows came through this morning.
Stuart. Joe did come through this morning. That was a very late call on your part. You gave him every chance to prove his fitness. He did that, at 9 o'clock this morning?
Yeah, him and Jeff, really. Jeff had that bang on his shoulder he came off with, and neither of them trained on Tuesday. When you've got a short turnaround, obviously you're left to Wednesday, which is a day off, so you needed to give them as much time as possible. But I was pretty confident by last night that both would come through, and this morning we had a line-up session at 8:30 and they were fine. So
a relief to you then that you can keep your
We had Moritz Botha and George Robson here as well, so we had to make sure we had plenty of cover. It's great for those two to play in this final game. I think they've done a great job throughout the championship. And obviously Courtney coming on. I thought Courtney was excellent when he came on in the Italy game. Stole that line out at the end, and I'm sure Courtney will come on and make a big difference.
And Owen Farrell back. He's proved to you, hasn't he, that he is a big game player, and it's going to be a big game.
Yeah. No, he is, and I think all the players are looking forward to the game. You know, they're excited about playing down in Wales, and with a great training session today. We know it's going to be a tough game. You know, a very experienced side we're playing against who've a lot of big game experience, but the likes of Owen and all our young players, it's going to be great for them, and they're looking forward to it.
And Tom Croft, he impressed, didn't he, off the bench for half an hour or so against Italy, but are you convinced he's ready for a full 80 minutes of intense test rugby?
Yeah, we are. You know, he's a high-quality player, and he's played at the highest level. He's confident, he's training well, you know, and obviously what tipped the balance for us was the performance for Leicester, but obviously how he did off the bench, but also the way he's trained and the presence he's brought to the team. Whether he plays a full 80 or not, the reason we've got James Haskell on the bench is because James covers 6, 7 and 8. And also James has done extremely well off the bench for us. So, you know, we'll make that decision as the game goes on as to if and when we use James, because, he's a high quality player as well.
We haven't seen the Wales team yet, but do you think that on home soil they go into this one as slight favourites?
I think I've said before, I'm not a betting man, so I don't get involved in the favourites or not favourites. What I would say is that they've got a very experienced side, in terms of number of caps. I think they've got about 600 in their, depending on who they pick, but it'll be around about 600 in their starting team to our 280-odd. They have played in big games, and they've closed out those Grand Slams over the last few years. So they've got a lot of experience, and obviously playing at home, for any team, you know, it's a big advantage. But we go into the game with strong self-belief ourselves. You know, we've won 4 out of 4 in the Six Nations, which is a difficult tournament to win games in consistently. And, we've got the New Zealand game as well. So, you know, we're pretty confident, but very respectful of the opposition.
And lastly from me, I mean, reports of quite a healthy Grand Slam win bonus. It's a statement of intent from the RFU that's encouraging, isn't it? I mean, the players don't need any added incentive, though, I suppose, do they, Stuart?
It's never been mentioned, honestly. I mean, it's the furthest thing from anyone's mind. I think I drilled that into the players very early in the Leeds week 14 months ago. You respect the fact you're playing for your country, you're playing at the highest level, it's a privilege to do it, and you want the country to get behind you. It's not about financial reward.
Well, Wales have made two changes. Justin Tipperick comes into the back row for the injured Ryan Jones, and Gethin Jenkins not only comes into the front row, but he's given the captain's armband. Jenkins says Wales can handle the pressure.
For me, you know, I've been used to going to this last game when you need a win, you know, to win the Grand Slam, and yeah, there's a pressure, but this week, I suppose it's all on them. But, you know, in the back of our minds, we really want to win that championship. You know, we had a bad start, but we've built a lot of momentum up in the last 3 weeks, and we want to continue with that.
Well, France are in the middle of their worst run in this tournament since the 20s. They must beat Scotland in Paris to avoid collecting the wooden spoon. Elsewhere, Italy face Ireland, and that game could be a farewell to both coach Declan Kidney, who's under pressure, and legendary centre Brian O'Driscoll, who could retire from representing his country, although he may still be involved in the British and Irish Lions tour to Australia. Well, let's switch our attention to football and look ahead to a couple of the weekend's Premier League clashes. The leaders Manchester United hope to extend their 12-point lead at the top with a home win against relegation-threatened Reading, who sacked their manager Brian McDermott earlier this week. Ahead of the match, Sir Alex Ferguson's expressed his surprise at Rio Ferdinand's return to the England squad.
Well, obviously, I was as surprised as anyone when I heard that.
You know that we prepare Rio in certain ways. He's got certain treatments he has to get through. The procedures have been the same all season.
He has to make sure that he's going to be okay in terms of the number of games he plays.
Well, the lunchtime kick-off on Saturday sees second-place Manchester City make the short trip to Everton. And City boss Roberto Mancini says his side has no margin for error.
I think that the next two or three games will be crucial. If they will lose a point in the next two games, after these two games we have a derby.
And there's a relegation six-pointer on Saturday as the bottom side QPR visit fellow strugglers Aston Villa, who are just 3 points above the drop zone. Rangers are looking for a third consecutive victory, and boss Harry Redknapp's in defiant mood.
We go into the game away from home, and I think people wrote us off about 4 weeks ago. We were, you know, everybody just said, well, they're gone. It's who goes with them, really. So we put ourselves back in the picture, so we were no hopers, and now we're back in there with half a chance.
Well, we'll finish this week by looking back at the quarter-final draws in both the Champions League and the Europa League. I think there are some cracking ties in the Champions League. Bayern Munich up against Juventus, two European powerhouses. Bayern Munich obviously rocked by that 2-0 home defeat to Arsenal in the last 16, but I think that's a blip. Generally this season their form has been excellent. Both teams well ahead in their respective league campaigns, so both of those will be champions of their respective countries at the end of this season. I think that will be a very tight tie indeed. Barcelona against big spending Paris Saint-Germain. The spice in that one, of course, Zlatan Ibrahimovic returning to the new camp. He left Barcelona in acrimonious circumstances, so it'll be interesting to see how that one plays out. David Beckham could be involved as well. And Barcelona, you just can't write them off. Beaten 2-0 in the first leg of the last 16 tie to AC Milan and came back to win 4-0 in this week's second leg. Looked very impressive indeed. Malaga against Borussia Dortmund. Malaga have never got this far in the competition. Borussia Dortmund I've been hugely impressed with in this tournament this year. They learn the mistakes that they made in last season's tournament. They've come out fighting, and I think Dortmund will come through that one fairly comfortably. And then Real Madrid against Galatasaray. Galatasaray did well to come through their tie against Schalke, but I think they'll meet their match in Real Madrid. Real, of course, very strong at home, and I don't think Galatasaray at home are as formidable an outfit as they used to be. They've moved from their old Ali Sami Yen Stadium, and their new ground nowhere near as intimidating as the old one was. And even though Didier Drogba and Wesley Schneider, who are two players who are very well known to the Real coach Jose Mourinho, even though they're in the lineup, I think Real will have too much power for Gala over the two legs. Now, the Europa League draw is very interesting as well. All three English teams still left in the competition have been kept apart. Chelsea will face Rubin Kazan. Rubin, a very defensive team. And Chelsea, I think, will have a bit too much firepower for them. But I can't imagine either of those two legs will be particularly interesting. Spurs against FC Basel on the face of it. Spurs look as though they've had the easiest draw, but Basel are not to be underestimated. They knocked out Zenit St. Petersburg in the last round, who, of course, knocked out Liverpool earlier in the competition. And they knocked out the Ukrainian side Dnipro before then, and they were two big shocks. So Basel capable of beating teams that are on a level above them. Newcastle, I think, have been given the trickiest draw of the three English clubs. They'll take on Benfica. Defensively, very strong. Got some excellent attacking players as well. But Newcastle have surprised me. I didn't expect them to beat Anji Makashkala over two legs in the last 16. And I certainly didn't expect them to dump out Metalist Kharkiv in the last 32. So they've shown that they are capable of getting results over two legs. And the final quarterfinal in the Europa League, Lazio, up against Fenerbahce. That won't be easy for Lazio, even though they're one of the favourites to win this tournament. Fenerbahce, very, very strong defensively and very, very good away from home as well, capable of getting precious away goals. So I think both tournaments, the Champions League and the Europa League, are bubbling up rather nicely. Well, that's it for this week. From me, Kevin Hatchard, it's goodbye for now.